May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 254. The fear of the Lord our days will prolong, in trouble afford a confidence strong, will keep us from sinning, will prosper our ways, and is the beginning of wisdom and grace. 254.
Our reading from God's holy word is taken from the book of Genesis, chapters 6 and 7. Book of Genesis, chapters 6 and 7. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. Length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it 50 cubits. And the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark. In a cubit shalt thou finish it above. The door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower second and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh. Two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind. Every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee. It shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. The Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. The beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Fowls also the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. Every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. It came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his son with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. They went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female, of all flesh as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. The waters increased and bare up the earth, bare up the ark. And it was lift above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle, and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. Every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. May the Lord bless to us his holy word and help us in prayer. Almighty and holy Lord God of heaven and of earth, you grant our help now rightly to approach thy holy throne in heaven in prayer. Grant unto us that living faith that we may approach with the desires of our hearts and not mockly with empty words and mere routine. Give us, Lord, a sense now of thy majesty, of thy holiness, of thy greatness, of thy almighty power. Give us a sense, Lord, of our sinfulness, our weakness, our poverty, our insufficiency. And grant us to know that thou art present here now. Thou art even now looking into our very souls and observing if we are worshipping thee or not. Send down thy Holy Spirit from above and grant that true worship, that true adoration. Lord, may we worship in that faith of thine elect and acknowledge our total allegiance unto thee. Do drive out everything of this world that would distract, and grant that we may be completely taken up with thee and the things of God. We come, Lord, as sinners. There's no other way we can come. We bow as sinners at thy feet. Lord, receive us as such. Grant to us the forgiveness of our sins. Grant to us that knowledge of our sin that true conviction and repentance and forsaking of it. Grant us to know the saving power of thy great name. And do feed us today with the bread and the water of life, that our souls might live and grow and be healthy. And like Noah, Lord, may we find grace in thy sight and walk with God. May we be led to the cross at Calvary. May we be led by faith to Jesus Christ as that sacrifice for sin. And may we find in him that plentiful treasure which the Father has given to the poor. May we have that treasure in our hearts today. We ask thy blessing to rest upon this church and people. We commend them into thy hand. Lord, they have various and individual needs, all known unto thee. Do bless this church and do supply its needs. Fill this pulpit week by week with a living ministry. Help and bless the labours of thy servants as they come week by week. May this be a green pasture. May this be a place where thy flock is known to be fed, watered and sheltered and rested. May this be, Lord, a place where thine honour does dwell, where thou dost reside. Bless each member of this church. Unite them together in love and union. Grant them humility and grace and faith, that watchfulness unto prayer. Lord, may they see thee going before them as a church, supplying all they stand in need of. Bless the deacons of this cause and grant them thy help in the office which thou hast called them unto. Grant to them wisdom and grace, discernment, thy fear and thy blessing. Grant help in the choice of the hymns that are sung here week by week. May they be sung with the understanding and with the heart. May there be week by week that confirmation that thou hast led both the one who must preach and those who select the praises of thy name to be sung here in the same way. Do add to this church those whom thou hast called by thy grace from this congregation. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done. But Lord, yet there is room. Go on to be gracious and do constrain by thy love thy lambs and thy sheep to follow in thy appointed way. Bless each member of this congregation. Grant to them to know the fear of the Lord. Grant unto them to know thy grace. Give them an appetite for spiritual things. Show them, Lord, their danger and the refuge for sinners. And give them that faith and that grace to flee to that refuge. And find mercy and shelter in thee. Remember those who are parents Help them to bring up children in thy fear, to set a right example. Lord, may each parent here be found as prayerful parents, bringing their children daily before thee, and may they live to see those prayers answered. And do bless thee children, the young people, with life before them. Lord, put thy fear in their heart in early life. May they walk life's pathway, following in the footsteps of the flock. May they be made a blessing and a pillar in the church of God in the years to come. Grant them success as far as is right in thy sight in examinations, in opening doors into careers, in providing for them godly partners in life and homes to live. Bless those who are older, those who face life as it is with its busy cares and concerns, its burdens and needs. Grant help to walk in thy fear in the world, and to look unto thee for help and wisdom and guidance, and to stand uncompromisingly for the truth in a gracious way. Be with any, Lord, who need thee in any special way, in their family, in their business, above all in their souls, and do supply those needs. Hear the cry for mercy. Hear the cry for help. Hear the cry for guidance. Hear the cry for protection and deliverance. Hear the cry above all for thy salvation. Remember those, Lord, who are at the end of life's journey in evening time. The greater part of life behind them. Eternity before them. Grant, Lord, that they may know much exercise and prayer to be made ready for that moment when thou wilt call them to pass through the river of Jordan. Grant, Lord, that they may prove their last days are their best days, that at evening time of natural life, it is light in their souls. May they know peace and quietness. Keep the devil at bay. And may they look up with confidence. And be able to say in the words of the Apostle Paul, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And Lord, may none who gather here today, may none who gather here week by week, be left at last to perish in their sin. But in that great day of judgment, which will soon be upon us, when thou wilt return to divide the sinners from the saints, to take home to glory thy saints, and to condemn to eternal misery thy enemies. May this be a complete church and congregation at thy right hand in that day. May each know thy mercy, find favour, and be given that grace. Do grant, Lord, thy help this day, that help to preach and that help to hear. Come in thy risen power and glory. Command thy blessing from above. And may something be done which Satan cannot undo. We thank thee for thy mercies, the mercies of the open word of God, the mercies that are found in Jesus, the mercies of our providential lives. Lord, may we worship today in thanksgiving. Lord, we've much to ask thee for, but we've much to thank thee for. And so grant this day that there might be that true thanksgiving in our hearts for all thy kindness and thy mercy to us. Open the eyes of our rulers. Send thy spirit of conviction into this land. And grant again those days when thy spirit is seen to work, and thy people are called by grace out of nature's darkness, and the church is built up. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem in this generation. And Lord, begin that revival in our own hearts. Begin that revival even this day, we beg, as we plead thy mercy and ask for the pardon of every sin. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn 335. Poor angry bosom hush, nor discontented grow, but at thy own sad folly blush, which breedeth all the woe. 335.
Seeking the Lord's help, I ask your prayerful attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 7, verse 1. The book of Genesis, the 7th chapter, the opening verse. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou, and all thy house, into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Book of Genesis, chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou, and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And although the events surrounding our subject this morning happened 4,500 years ago, they still have lessons for us to learn in our day and generation. The subject of Noah and the ark is scorned in this day and generation. But beloved friends, what we have before us this morning is not a myth, not a legend, not a parable. It is history, it is fact. And men scorn this event and ignore it at their peril. Because, beloved friends, there is another judgment day to come. And just as in Noah's day and generation, the vast majority did not believe that this judgment day in Noah's life would come, so in our day and generation, the majority do not believe that that final judgment day will come. But it will. And in that day when the Lord returns in glory and power and might, he will not flood the earth, but he will burn it up, having first judged all who have lived in it. Just as we have this event which surely took place, it speaks to us of the certainty of that final judgment and of the necessity of being prepared for that day, as Noah was prepared in his day. Noah lived in a day and generation very similar to the day that we're called to live in. It was a day of violence, and murder. It was a day of lust and immorality. It was a day of ungodliness, where God's ways were shunned. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. God is not mocked. Remember that. Every sin that you and I commit, God will hold us to account for. An unpardoned sin will bring judgment and the anger of God. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because the Lord found that grace in Noah, because he put it there first, and because that grace influenced Noah to live in the fear of the Lord, the Lord remembered him with a favour and with a special regard. And he made a provision for him that he would not be destroyed. Have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? The eyes of the Lord are upon you. The eyes of the Lord never cease from looking at you and at me. What have they seen this past week? Has it been all sin? Has it been all lust? Has it been all taken up with temporal things? Right though many of them are. Necessary though many of them are, but has there been nothing that God has seen in the past week? Of grace in our hearts? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The definition of grace is this. The divine influence upon the heart, and its reflection in the life. You and I are influenced. We are influenced by our natural sinful hearts. We are influenced by our family, by our friends, by those we keep company with. And that influence will affect what you do or what you don't do. But those like Noah, who are given the grace of God, they have within a holy influence, a pure influence, a reverence for God, and a realization that his ways are right. And that principle within has an effect in the life. Friend, if there's no effect in your life, there can be no grace in your heart. One follows the other. Just as a healthy fruit tree will bring forth fruit, so grace in the heart will bring forth the fruit of grace in the life. We see the effect of grace in Noah. God commands Noah to build this ark. And Noah obeys. God warns Noah of what is to come. And beloved friends, rain had never been seen on the earth before this moment. And those who judged things from a carnal point of view would say, what is rain? You can almost hear them say, it's unscientific. It's never been seen. But the grace that God gave unto Noah gave him that faith to believe that God had said that rain would come on the earth, and therefore Noah was certain that rain would therefore come in that appointed day. If you have grace in your heart, you will believe what God says is true. And therefore you will know that God is a holy God. You will know that you are a sinner in God's sight, unholy, polluted, corrupt, as we have in this sixth chapter. You will know that God will punish sin because he has said he will. You will be brought to realize that there is a place called heaven and hell. You'll also be brought to see that there is a refuge. There is a shelter from that storm of God's wrath. An ark of grace, of which this ark is a picture. And just as Noah fled into this ark under the influence of God's grace, so under the influence of that grace in your heart, you will know what it is to flee to Jesus Christ for refuge, for shelter, for protection. It's believed that it took Noah 100 years to build this ark. Made of gopher wood, which apparently is the most waterproof wood there is. The best and most efficient wood for the purpose. And every day that Noah built that ark, he was preaching a sermon to his fellow men. There is a judgment day coming. No doubt to start with, probably caused a stir among his neighbours. Noah lived far from the sea. No doubt Noah had to endure scorn and ridicule and derision. Some would have been curious. Though we aren't told, it is possible, I suppose, that some may even have helped him build that ark. But never entered it themselves. But as they got used to it, that ark being built, some of them would have lost interest, would have been hardened. Until that day when that rain came. And then it was seen who was wise and who was foolish. One man was wise, and that was Noah in the earth. The rest perished in their foolishness and their sin. And beloved friends, this morning you are either wise or you are foolish. You are either a possessor of the grace of God and, like Noah, have fled to this greater refuge that is found in Jesus Christ. Or you are without and under the sentence of death. Under the sentence of judgment, under the threat of having to face an angry God. The solemn thing is that there were those that perished in this day when God sent the rain upon the earth. They saw the ark. As they were perishing. As they watched that water coming upwards, as they fled to higher ground, they saw that ark, which had been a witness, which they had scorned. And those that saw were under greater condemnation than those that lived many hundreds of miles away from this ark and never saw it. Living in the shadow of that ark and seeing it clearly did not save one of them. Only those that went into that ark were safe. Beloved friends, there are many who live in the sight of the gospel all their lives. Week by week they hear it preached. They know the doctrines in their own hearts, in their own minds. Then they can explain and defend it very well if necessary. Never come by faith into that ark. Beloved friend, If you live your whole life under the sound of the gospel, and yet it never touches your heart savingly, like those men and women that perished in the day of the flood, literally looking at that ark, and ever since they were called into eternity, the thought of that ark has caused them greater torment. So if you are left to perish in your sin, having spent a lifetime hearing the way of salvation, the one and only way of escaping God's eternal wrath, so you too will come under greater condemnation in eternity to come. And just as they cannot forget the sight of that ark, which they lived under the shadow of and the sight of and they scorned, so you will not be able to forget those sermons that you heard but slighted and made light of. It's only those that are by faith brought to come into the ark that are safe. All else will perish eternally. And the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. He doesn't say, go into the ark. He says, come. What a comforting thought to Noah, with this storm ahead of him. He has this divine word of command, this divine word of welcome, this divine word of invitation, come into the ark. Come into my presence. He was going to be favored. With the best of company in that ark. The very presence of God himself. Come, thou. Personal. And everyone of that family to be safe had to literally enter through the door into that ark, and then they were safe. And real religion is personal. You must have dealings with God personally. You must, by faith, be able to enter in to Jesus Christ, the way of salvation, to be saved. Come, thou. And all thy house into the ark. What good care did the Lord take of his servant Noah? He provided food for him in the previous verses of the chapter. Sufficient food for those long days and weeks that he was to spend in that ark, sufficient food for him and his family and all the animals that God brought unto him. And when Noah and his family obeyed the voice of God, we read the Lord shut him in. Noah did not have to shut the door himself. The Lord God Almighty shut that door. Not all the raging and the tumult that was to come could open that door. Nothing Satan could do could harm the safety of Noah and those that were with him in that ark. The Lord shut him in. Having revealed this ark to Noah, having shown to him the danger and provided that way of escape, and having at that very moment when Noah needed this ark the most, given him this word, come into the ark. Now the Lord shuts him in that place of safety and that place of refuge. And your mighty, sovereign, covenant power of God kept that door shut. And not until that door was shut were the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven opened and the rain was allowed to fall. Forty days and 40 nights. It can't have been a smooth passage, you know, friends. Fountains of the great deep are broken up. And no doubt that ark was buffeted and tossed in the elements, the wind, the rain. And those inside would have heard that rain. But they were safe in God's care and keeping. And in your little boat this morning, you may be tossed with waves. Like Noah, it may be a providential tossing. Something unexpected happened this past week. Something which has brought you to a complete halt. Something which has brought you into dismay and fearful for the future. And as you feel tossed by these waves, you feel you're at their mercy. You feel that there is nothing that you can do to prevent disaster. And the devil's already telling you of all the gloomy things that are ahead of you. What did you sing in that hymn just now? If sick or lame or poor, or by the world abhorred, whatever cross lies at thy door, it cometh from the Lord. Now listen. The lions will not tear. The billows cannot heave. The furnace shall not singe thy hair till Jesus give them leave. Your soul, your body, your family, your business, is not at the mercy of Satan. It's at the mercy of God. Look higher. The Lord God Almighty has seen sufficient for you to enter into this storm, this mighty storm, this storm that is greater than you ever perhaps had to deal with before. In this storm which is reminding you of your own weakness. But God's eye is on you in this storm. As it was upon Noah, God remembered Noah, the next chapter starts. In that storm, didn't forget him, didn't desert him, didn't leave him to the elements. And God has remembered you as well. And this is the word of the Lord to you this morning. As Noah proved it, literally, so in your pathway, in your situation, the Lord is going to prove this word to you as well. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Noah proved it when the Lord shut him in. And although you did not realize it, the moment before this trial began, the Lord shut you in. He holds this trial and he holds you in his hand. And there's mercy in it. It will not destroy you. It will bring you into nearness to him. Yesterday evening, I read these words on a gravestone near here of someone who had clearly died unexpectedly in early life. And there were two lines that said something like this: "We cannot, Lord, thy doing see, but all is well since done by thee." Beloved friend, trust him. He won't let you down. He won't desert you. He'll bring you through. Because he's a faithful God. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Noah could leave this storm in the Lord's hand. The Lord didn't tell him how long it was going to last. As far as I can make out, I don't think Noah steered this ark through that storm. It was left completely to the direction and the wisdom of God. But God directed that ark where he would willed it to be. And he brought it to that place where he ordained that Noah should come out of that ark. So he will do the same with you in his time. When you go forth from that ark, that rainbow will be in the cloud. I do set my bow in the cloud. The darker the cloud, the brighter the bow. The more you will see of the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God. He will not leave thee. He will not fail thee. He will correct, he will rebuke, he will teach. But his love will not cause your little boat to sink. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Now finally and briefly, may the Lord enable us now to lose sight for a moment of Noah and his ark. And let us come to consider that ark that you and I need. Because you and I are sinners in God's sight. We have that almighty storm before us of the wrath of God to face. God will deal with sin, every sin, each sin that is ever committed. You may think it doesn't matter. You may think it's easily explained away. In God's eyes, all sin is offensive. In God's eyes, all sin is rebellion, inexcusable, and an act of war against him. You and I owe to him as our creator total, absolute, unflinching obedience. And when you and I fail, as we so often do, with that perfect standard that you can read of in the 20th chapter of Exodus, we sin. Every time you sin, you bring yourself under God's wrath. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And those who die in their sins will come into a storm far greater even than this storm that came upon the earth in that day, an eternal storm. You'll know nothing but the almighty anger of an almighty God, and that forever. But Almighty God, in his kindness and in his mercy, has provided a way of escape, an ark. And those to whom he gives his grace, those to whom have a place in his love, he reveals them what this ark is, and he says, come. Every promise you ever had, child of God, is a come. The Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ came into this sin-cursed earth, and he lived that human life, born as a Son of Man. He had a real human body and he had a real human soul necessary for him to be the substitute of sinful human flesh. And as that man, he came under the demands of that law of God. Whereas you and I break that law every day, he kept that law completely, wholly, in heart, in thought, in word, in deed, in motive. In times of trial and distress, or in times of peace and quietness, in times of popularity and in times of adversity, when he was alone or when he was facing the scorn of the world, in childhood and in manhood, the Lord Jesus Christ lived that holy life which God demands. He lived that life on behalf of others. He lived that life on behalf of his church. And then at the end of that life, on that cross at Calvary, he paid in full the debt of sin that his church had created. Every sin and every one of his sheep, every one that would flee to this refuge, had committed, fell upon him. And the whole price and the whole weight was demanded of him. And he, in his holy body and in his holy soul, felt the anger, the wrath of an almighty God. And he hung upon that cross till each and every one of those sins of his church had been dealt with. Paid in full. And now there is nothing to pay for a child of God. Friends, that is the ark, the only ark which your soul will find refuge in the day of your death. You won't find a refuge in the ark of your own self-righteousness, just as no doubt there would have been those in Noah's day that would have taken to literal other boats that existed, but it did them no good. The only place of safety, the only place of refuge, is found in Jesus. He lived the life his people should have lived. And then he died the death his people should have died. Come thou into the ark. Have you, by faith, been brought into this ark? Have you fled for refuge? Or are you still found trusting elsewhere? May Almighty God give us that grace he gave to Noah, that we might be found fleeing to this refuge. And how do you flee? One sentence. And if you've never prayed before, begin with this prayer and carry on praying until God in mercy answers it. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £625, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, the Sunday school this afternoon will be at Bethany. And also, Jonathan hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. And God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1060. Weary of wandering from the Lord, and now made willing to return, I hear and bow me to the rod, for now not without hope I mourn. There is an advocate above, a friend before the throne of love. 1060.
And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.